is Umar.
So these are five figures, right? And if I give this to somebody, I can help them only so much. But if I put these together and become the hand, I can reach out to somebody and help them with this. This is the issue that we're facing right now. We're not looking each other in the eye. We're not giving each other a hand. We don't even reach out. People are not making eye contact. And we're going through something very severe, that there's a mismatch that has happened with people. And I'll be one of the people who will say, who actually was expecting this to happen. I'm going to come out and say this. I saw this coming and I was like, okay, this is going to happen and this is how it's going to go down. But as you're saying that, you know, this has been going on around the world and it's come over here now, and we're seeing this happen. And I felt very confused. Most of the time I feel very numb. But I think it's because of this practice that's given me the courage to go out there every day and say, no, I'm not going to let this take me down. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to live. I'm going to be a human being to other people and not completely be the one who loses it. We have to stand up for each other, for everyone. This is how I feel, deeply. This is how I feel when I sit in Zazen. Awful, awful, awful thoughts come by. And I sit there. I've had people come and say awful things to me. And sometimes I bow to them in my mind now. Say, you're my teacher. Thank you. And this is our teacher. This, what has happened, is our teacher. We have to look at each other. We have to reach out to each other. We have to put away our cell phones and our tablets and these iPads and these devices that are just hypnotizing us. There's nothing there. To look at each other, talk to each other, be with each other. That's the most important human element that has gone missing. We're not connecting with each other. This is why there's a sense of connection that has happened in the Rust Belt too. People are not connecting with each other. Something's gone amiss. And unless and until we make an effort to bridge this gap, things will just keep getting worse. We have to do something about this. It's not about men, it's not about women, it's about all of us. It has to do with all of us. And this is what we have to do, is reach out to each other, connect with each other, look at each other at least, in the eye, and acknowledge the person and say, yes, I acknowledge you. Unless we do that, nothing else is going to get fixed. This is the beginning. This is important, what has happened. This is a wake-up call. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you?
On election night, I was at home with my wife, and we were both frustrated. She is more emotional than me, so she was very, 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 very upset. Aside from sitting here and doing meditation, I'm also a cognitive psychologist, and I studied conceptual change and misconceptions and how people come to have a variety of different beliefs. And I can say I was not surprised that he was successful because he was very clever in his use of propaganda and the ways in which he was able to sway judgments. So that was unsurprising to me. And there's a whole slew of history that I see it as other examples of the use of propaganda. Stalin, Mao, even Andrew Jackson, another president of ours. So it wasn't surprising to me that it happened, but now that it is here, it is sort of scary for a lot of people, and I see that they have a lot of fear, and I don't know what is the best course of action at this point and how we should move forward with this presidency.
Thank you. Travis, you go first.
I think we're in an era where we know a lot more about public figures, and we also know a great deal more about our place or significance in the world and with respect to the health of the earth. And so there's many more challenges to how to live a good life, and the ways in which we are kind and responsible global citizens. And I think that with respect to the propaganda, what was also clear was there were character issues with the candidate or candidates, and we have had that's no coincidence. We've had a loss of community over a very long period at a local level, and I feel as though that loss of community has left people isolated. And my heart aches for that. And so many of us have searched for community. And one of the values of community is that it allows you to see a potential for people and for groups of people and to be less susceptible to the tactics or the meanness of the election. I don't think when communities return, we would tolerate that. And so I think our task is to do the slow and arduous work of rebuilding communities. And it has to be at a grassroots level. That's how I feel.
Thank you. Ross?
Part of it is just reading the news now is just difficult. So that's something you said, like, deal with reality as it is, and I got to deal with the reactivity I have. The other was the New York Times published online something you could use to talk to family members over the holidays about politics that was kind of trying to help people have dialogues, and then they published three podcasts where people had dialogues. And I think I might try to download that and at least listen, read what these questions are, so I might have some sense of how to deal with my family, because I find myself getting triggered rather than actually having a conversation. And just, you know, another part of a feeling is kind of like how you feel about where you live in your country. And I'm from Minnesota, and I always sort of felt like it's a fairly liberal, good state. But I was listening to a podcast about the Indians, and you know, he has this sort of vague thing about what happened to the Native Americans, but this was sort of like going blow by blow about how they were cheated and killed and pushed off the land. And it's kind of like, well, how do you feel about being from Minnesota, knowing that it had such violent origins? And so it goes back to what you're saying. It's like, how do we deal with the reality of how people can treat each other? But I don't have any answers to that.
Mm. Okay, thank you. Yes, please.
Following up on that last comment and what Umar was saying, this obvious deeply felt movement inside us to reach out to one another and try to find some order again after this. The watching that night, it was like you could see a train wreck happening right in front of you. And so there's this trauma. And then I think our practice allows us to remain in a state where we can immediately move toward, to the best of our ability, maybe small steps toward the next right thing to be doing, and sort of moving on. Umar was talking about being acting on a person-to-person level, but there's an opportunity here, you know, even with very liberal leadership, the progress we've been making toward saving our earth, ocean acidification, those sorts of things, those we took a few steps back, but gee whiz, Gore's talking to Ivanka. Maybe there's a tiny bubble, there are tiny little effervescent bubbles that are coming up right now. I doubt that. I think we're going to have a real struggle, but we have the ability to come together not only as a whole people and accept each other and so forth, but also work for common goals that will help all of us globally, not just here, you know, not just where we can buy the Newcastle battery and sell our homes or something, but you know, make progress.
Thank you. Please. Yes, please.
I was share all the feelings today, expressed today, shock, anger, depression at the result, but I also realized that probably a lot of my own reaction was due to my long neglected meditation practice, because thinking about it, I realized I had a fixed idea about how it was going to turn out. I was believing the polls. And when my fixed idea didn't turn out the way, you know, the way it was, like, intended it to turn out, then, of course, emotions arose. Anger, shock, depression, disappointment, feeling that we've taken a step back, et cetera, et cetera. And they're suffering. So it was, what I realized is the power of the mind, my mind, to grab onto a fixed idea, and if it doesn't turn out the way you might expect it to turn out, then suffering will automatically arise.
Thank you. Yes, please.
I've been listening to everyone and there's a lot of fear. And my other feeling is, as a Mexican, recognizing that that has been the experience already of many minorities, not only Mexicans, and people who practice different faith traditions that are different than ours. So maybe there's something, this is something to unite us that that we can learn from each other. It seems that now there's just not a group of people that have been victimized, but all of us are.
Thank you. Yes.
I've already spoken, so maybe somebody else should go with me.
Yes, please.
Sorry, Chev. Yes. I shared the same feeling that you felt where when Trump was elected, it felt like the floor was swept out from underneath my feet and everything was kind of up in the air and I was a little disoriented. I have my ex-wife, mother of my child, is undocumented. And so I've had, over time, you know, I've empathized with her and her fears and just fear of being pulled over by the cops and stuff like that. But more recently, I moved in to a new place, and there was one of my roommates. He started talking. He has a girlfriend who's undocumented, and he is white. And then he started talking about how all the Mexicans are stealing our jobs. And it made me, like, I just became serious. I didn't want to respond to him at all. But later on, like, I didn't want to go. I just moved into this place, and I didn't want to go back because I didn't feel like this would be, like, a hospitable environment to live in. I mean, I'll try to be positive. Interact with them in a positive way and try to talk sense to him that this is his girlfriend and that he should have compassion towards her and her people. But it's just like these interpersonal, like when you deal with racism, like up front, it's, I usually shy away from directly talking about how this is not appropriate. And, also there's the civil rights movements, which are going to, like, start coming up in reaction to Trump. And I go to this Unitarian church, and they said that the church is going to be like a sanctuary for if there are deportations that they'll try to protect individuals who are undocumented. And then I felt reassured because I talked to a friend who said that like when, like, there's this one lady who was gonna be deported, but then his organization got together and they lobbied the local government to, like, let her go, and they were able to release her. So I feel that if people get involved politically, that they can address the racism and head on. And I personally went to a rally, and I went to a rally once before, but it was hosted by the NAACP at, in downtown San Jose, and they're going to start coordinating and getting people to start affirmative actions to go against or to help promote women's rights and rights for undocumented. That's very political, but I feel it's important to say that, you know, we're not powerless, and that there's, when we work together and get involved, that that we have a lot more strength to make a positive difference.
Okay, thank you. Anybody who hasn't spoken, this is a good time. Anybody would like to say something? Well, I appreciate so many of you speaking up so honestly, sharing your feelings, talking about your concerns, and thinking about what to do. Some of you have already mentioned the practice, our practice, and how it has played into what's been going on. That, I think, is the one thing we can rely on. We have our practice. No matter what is happening in the world, the truth doesn't change. And when our practice is about understanding the truth and understanding what it means to be authentic, we will find strength in that, and we will find direction in that, despite the ups and downs of our emotions. This character is about this practice is about character. Suzuki Roshi said it a number of times. This practice will build your character. And for me, the shock was in the election, the seeming indifference to character. That to me was the biggest shock. How can you overlook that? But people did, because they felt they had reason to, other reasons, more overriding reasons. That, to me, is the most troubling thing, that we as a nation start to diminish the importance of character because of economic concerns or other concerns. That, to me, is the most frightening part. And I think that's where we can begin. Through our own practice, the strengthening and the maintenance of our own fundamental character based on, you know, the teachings and the practice that we do, that's our starting point. And we can rely on our practice to show us what our character is and to give us the strength and the optimism to see what tomorrow brings. It's likely we'll have more discussion about this. I'm not sure if we have a group activity we can do. That's a big topic, and we don't have time for it tonight. But again, I want to thank you for your participation tonight, for sharing your feelings, for carefully listening to each other. This is quite a sensitive and dedicated and truth-seeking sangha. That's feels good. Feels marvelous to be a part of it. So thank you.